Hello, everyone, and welcome to our very first episode of Getting Savvy with Catherine and Dr. Melissa Hirschberg. We're so excited to be doing this and bring it to you. Melissa, let's kind of just first give everybody the premise and the genesis as to why we're doing this and what it actually means. Like the focus is health, wealth, and beauty, and just getting better at this. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you and I have been friends for over 10 years now. And we met because you moved to Canada and we're looking for a physician. And then we realized we had a lot in common and our friendship evolved and we started talking about health. And I would, you would look to me for advice on health. And then you, with your background in finance, I would look to you for advice on wealth. And then we started also, just being women, would talk about our beauty secrets. And so we thought, since we're talking about this, other women and other men too would probably love to hear what we had to say. And so that's how we evolved this idea to do this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's interesting and important as well is, I do love finance and talking about investing. And I think and why I like it is because you kind of can live and see the world through finance. I mean, it's people, it's psychology, it's products that we use, which we're going to get to. And we also want this to be somewhat actionable. Like I really think that, women and men should be active participants in. If you make money, which we do when we go to work and have a job, like let's invest it. If you're going to buy a Louis Vuitton purse, maybe you want to buy the stock LVMH. Peter Lynch is a famous investor and almost famous for talking about, and many very smart investors will say, if you're going to invest, you need to have an edge. So what's your edge going to be? And so sometimes if you really know the product, and we've got some stock ideas for you on that front today that you brought up to me. If you know the product or understand the consumer and the marketplace, why not also just take a look at owning the stock? So, and obviously there's not, not like this isn't a stock jock show. So just to be clear, and this is for entertainment purposes only. So do not take advice, speak to your, financial advisor. That's important that we say that. And also your own personal GP as well, right, Melissa?
Yeah, exactly. But going back to your point, I think Warren Buffett also said, like, buy what you know, right? And so he's not going to go buying cryptocurrency if he doesn't understand what it is, but he drinks five Coca-Colas a day. So maybe that's something that he would invest in. And that's sort of
Right.
how I started investing. Especially, you go through medical school, you learn how to be a doctor, and then you make money, but no one ever teaches you, well, how are you supposed to invest this? And so, it's a little bit of trial and error and figuring things out. And that's what we also want to talk about, helping people understand, okay, so rather than just giving it blindly to someone to invest for you, how can you be a more active participant in growing your own wealth and investing and having fun with it, but also understanding that you may have a bit of an edge based on the products you use and
Yep.
things you consume and what you're educated in. And so, yeah, so we thought we'd have
Yeah.
fun with sharing that with people.
So let's get started then. So you brought this up to me, as a consumer and user, or will you tell me Tesla? That's one of the companies you wanted to talk about. Maybe go back. You were looking at Tesla and some other stocks years ago. So tell that story. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it sucks because
It sucks.
sucks.
Okay, we're
So,
allowed to
like,
swear on this podcast, just by
yeah,
the
well,
way.
I don't think that's a swear. But anyhow, so about 10 years ago, I think it was around 10 years ago, I remember calling an Uber and I got picked up in a Tesla. And it was my first time being in a Tesla. And I felt like I was in the coolest car, almost like Kit was the car. And I forget what
Oh,
show
yeah.
that was years ago. And I'm like, this is amazing. I need to have a Tesla. But since I wasn't going to buy a Tesla, I was like, I think I need to buy this stock. And I remember talking to my dad on the phone at the time and saying, I just rode in a Tesla. It's amazing. I think it's amazing. I'm going to buy the stock. And he's like, well, I don't know. And, and I said, no, I'm just going to buy it. He said to me, okay, so I was going to go. And I was at the time I created my own, TD wealth management account, so I could do it myself online. And I was just going to enter my order. And he said, well, don't just do it at market, always go a little below market value, so that you get a little bit of a better deal on the stock. So I was okay. So I did that. And then I kind of forgot about it and just kind of assumed it filled. But when I looked back, I was like, oh, it didn't fill because it never went below whatever that was showing at market at the time. So I never filled my order. Anyhow, and then I kind of got, sidetracked and chickened out maybe a little. Maybe in that moment I was feeling risk, like taking a risk and
Right.
investing in the stock. And then when it didn't fill, I sort of thought, okay, anyhow, had it filled, I think it's been up like what, 28%? I don't, like something crazy since that
I
time.
yeah, I'm gonna look it up. I thought I had, so sorry, but yeah, so important lesson, right, in terms of even just putting the order in, and understanding what a market order is, and running, knowing it can get away from you.
Yeah, and understanding what that means. And since that day, I've
Oh
never
yeah.
tried. I just fill it at whatever the market looks. Because I
Yeah, I
figure if
do
I
that
want
too.
to own it, that I don't care about the difference in a few, pennies or 10 cents or whatever.
Yeah.
If the point is, if I think it's really a good stock and something I want to hold on to, I mean, I'm by no means be a day trader. I'm somebody that's like a very,
Yeah.
it's not my profession. It's not what I
Right.
do. But anyhow, I never ended up getting the stock, but I have subsequently purchased a Tesla. So I own the
Oh.
car now. I don't own the stock.
Oh.
And yeah.
Okay. So, by the way, the Tesla stock has been up 20,000%, 20,000,
20,000%. Oh my God.
20,000% over
Okay.
that's the max. Now, it didn't do much for quite some time. It really started to take off around 2019. But yeah, 20,000. So I just actually want to kind of, so we're going to dig into some of the fundamentals here in terms of, like, should we really be looking at Tesla and buying it now? So it's interesting because the stock's actually down by about 3% on a year-to-date basis. So it's underperformed the market, and it's a U.S. stock. TSLA is the ticker for anybody who wants to look that up. The market, the S&P 500, is up by about 20% on a year-to-date basis. So there's been a lot of volatility surrounding this. The stock price is at $248. And again, that volatility, it's been as low as 138 and as high as 271 on a 52-week basis. So it gives you, it's a big range, right? The stock's really moved around for a lot of various reasons. We don't have to get into all of them. But I think what's really interesting now, Melissa, just to kind of bring everybody up to date, is next week is the all anticipated, so Thursday, October the 10th, all anticipated announcement of their robo taxi. And so full self-driving, right? And this, interestingly, because we also wanted to talk about how do we get exposure to AI. I think Tesla's actually a really interesting way because AI really powers these self-driving or full service driving cars. They use AI
Yeah, I
within
don't,
Tesla.
I know, like, I think Elon started talking about robotaxi and promising it in 2019, then 2020, and it keeps getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And now, apparently, like you said, it's set for launching this month. I don't know. Like, I'll tell you, like, last weekend, my daughter was at a play date in, I'm not supposed to call them play dates anymore. Sorry. She was just like hanging out with a friend in Etobicoke, which is like a 40-minute drive from where I am. And now it's like I had to pick her up at, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night or something. And it's like the last thing I want to do is drive all the way there and then drive all the way back. I mean, that's an hour and 20 minutes of driving. If there was robotaxi available and I had this self-driving car, sure, I could just send the car there, pick her up, and bring it home. Do I think that we're remotely close to that? No. Despite what Elon Musk says and that this capability is happening this month, like I can't imagine, like it will be amazing when that happens. If it happens, I just still feel like it's so far away.
It might
To
be far
trusting
away,
it,
but
to
I think
trusting
what's
it.
so I'm testing it. Yeah. So I read a
Or not
lot of
testing it, to trusting it.
trusting it. Okay. Well, and that's interestingly, that is where AI comes in because there's so
Yeah.
much talk about AI and OpenAI. And just within a vehicle itself, AI will be used for perception. So identifying obstacles and pedestrians, decision making, split second decision making, path plans, machine learning. So if you're always going on this route, what's the better route? It will continue
Yeah.
to learn. So it's an interesting play on AI. And one of the reports I read is from Dan Ives. He's at Wedbush Securities. I've talked to him on air for years and years. And he actually thinks that this aspect of Tesla is not just an EV, that the unlocked value is
Right.
really in the AI FSD, full self-driving vehicle. And yes, it might take time, but he actually says it's worth $1 trillion in value to
Wow.
Tesla. And it's in his opinion, it doesn't appear to be priced in.
So
But to your
again,
point, things take time.
yeah. And I mean, this is an example of, again, what we know. Like when I sat in the Tesla, I knew it was cool and I knew people would want to drive that car because it was just so simplistic looking. It didn't have all these dials on the dash. It was just a cool laptop. I'm like, I understand as a consumer that people will want to drive this car. And I felt very confident in thinking, well, I mean, I guess that's an error people make in thinking that they're similar to the rest of the people. But I thought this will be a cool car. And I think the fact that you don't have to fill up with gas is a game changer. I can't even imagine going to a gas station anymore.
You can't.
Nope. Once you start plugging in your car and just plug it in, the idea of me having to like run out of gas and go to a gas station in the freezing cold, I can't imagine going back to that. But when it comes to the AI, I get it, and it could be really valuable and worth $1 trillion, but I just don't really understand it or feel it yet. So I wouldn't feel confident myself to say, yes, I'm going to buy it because of that reason. Now, I could be completely wrong and it's amazing, but I'm just saying in terms of what I know and what I understand and what I can touch and feel, because I can't do that yet, that's the way I'm thinking about it now.
Okay.
That being said, in thinking about Tesla, and I think we talked about this, so I own the Y. And part of the reason I think it's great is because it has 7 seats. So I can basically carpool kids and fit a lot into it while at the same time pack a lot into the trunk and a lot into the front without feeling like I'm uncool and driving this big mom minivan. Like I feel like it has all the capabilities to taking the passengers and taking the stuff without feeling, you know, like I'm driving. Right. So for me, I think it's a great car. Do I think it's a luxury car? No.
Really?
I don't. I think the price of it does. No, because it's pleather seats and it's not luxury when you sit in it. It's practicality.
Okay. Functionality and
Anyhow,
practicality.
Functionality. Yeah.
Okay.
So
well, my husband loves the word functionality. I'm like, I said luxury is functional to me.
Well, I like that. Yeah.
It makes me happy. It's very
it's
functional.
True. It makes me happy.
So, and it's funny because speaking of the like the big van or what have you, I remember when I first met you and you had a really cool, cute SUV. And then the next time I saw you, it was this massive thing.
Horrible.
I said, what happened? What happened?
Oh my
anyway,
God.
Bigger family. That's what happened. That's a great thing. Okay, so let's just wrap it up then on Tesla. I would just say, you know, and again, this is all the you know, various price targets out there. Cantor's says, you know, they've got a $245 price target on it. So close to where it is right now. Like I said, Wedbush has the highest price target, $300. Again, that's only $50 higher. But people have to remember when analysts on Wall Street and Bay Street put their price targets out, that's a 12-month price target. So that doesn't necessarily incorporate what their writing might say, which is they believe that that Elon is just so at the forefront of evolutions and evolving the auto industry. So, you know, we'll come back to it at the very end because we're going to make this podcast actionable in terms of actionable items. What can we do to really getting savvy in health, wealth, and beauty? But Melissa, let's move it on to another big topic. Which of course is Ozempic and GLPs. Let me ask you, what do you think of them?
Unbelievable. Game changer in medicine. I have been working in weight loss for almost 15 years. I wrote my first diet book. I think it was 2007 or 9, or I don't know, a long time ago. And I've been helping people lose weight, you know, through altering their diet and different strategies that are still absolutely relevant and wonderful and everything today. The hardest part is getting people to do what they know they should do. And we used to think it was just, you know, is it just sheer willpower or some people just not as committed? And what these GLP-1 drugs have really showed us is that, no, people know what they need to do and they want to do it, but it's sometimes their cravings and their hunger just get in the way. And all of a sudden they come out with these drugs, these GLP-1 agonists or glucagon-like peptides, for example, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro. Well, that's actually a dual agonist, but anyhow, similar mechanism. And all of a sudden, people, they don't have that same food noise where they're thinking about food. They're not as hungry, and they just have a more easy time sticking to the diet plan that they want to stick to and reducing their portions. And all of a sudden, people who struggled with their weight for years are now able to reach their goal weight. And I have a huge percentage of my practice that are on these medications. Some of them started them for diabetes years ago when that was the original indication, and then noticed they were losing weight. But I've seen it help people with their sleep apnea, with high blood pressure, getting their cholesterol in check, getting to their goal weight. And then I've also seen young women with no health issues just feeling better and finally fitting into the jeans they want to fit into. So I don't think they're going anywhere. And I don't think people are going off them.
No.
No, that's the other thing. You know, in terms of like if you think of like an ideal product that, you know, when you think of some of the products like caffeine, coffee, nicotine, things that people are addicted to,
Oh,
you know, it's
yeah.
great. So these GLP-1 drugs, yes, they help people lose weight, but I think people will sort of be reliant on them because I think when you stop using them, sure, some people can keep the weight off, but gradually the food noise comes back, the hunger comes back, people start to gain the weight back. So I think that they're going to be something that people rely on using, you know, for years, chronically. Yeah.
Do you have any cons like, you know, you hear some reports, Melissa, and I'm sure like on every drug out there, I mean, the list of concerns and warnings, it's there for every drug. But I have seen things pop across like it hurts people's vision,
I don't
might
know.
cause stomach, nothing, no.
I mean, so many people are on these drugs. I mean, is it hurting their vision or, you know, are smartphones hurting our vision?
Right. Okay.
I mean, it's possible the one thing that's come out is for diabetics, it can actually, and I don't really understand why, but it can increase the risk of diabetic
What's
retinopathy. So
that?
retinopathy is like the retina, it's a blood
Oh.
vessel disease to the retina. So when you're diagnosed with diabetes, you have to also follow with a ophthalmologist to keep ensure that your eye health is okay.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of my type 2 diabetics or type 1 diabetics see an eye doctor once a year to make sure they're not developing retinopathy. And that's one thing, but I don't know. I have lots of patients that I haven't had really this vision issue as a problem that I've
Okay.
seen. But sure, I mean,
It's
you do have to look at, you know, there are going to be long-term effects of these medications. The longest, I mean, people have been on Ozempic for I think just over 10 years for diabetes. So I think the longest in my practice is around that time. And we haven't seen any, you know, harmful deleterious side effects that have made me concerned. Now that's been 10 years, and that's been in diabetic patients. We don't know about a 25-year-old taking Ozempic for life. I mean, we just don't have that data yet.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's going to do ultimately more good than harm.
Because you know, you and I have talked too, like just bring the beauty component into it. You know, and I don't mean this from a looks perspective. If we want to be kind of healthy, wealthy, and wise for as long as we possibly can, you know, how long is that? And you've said, I believe, that the best longevity treatment seems to be to keep the weight off, to be thin. Those are the longest living people. Is that
Yes,
right?
it's actually the only thing that's ever shown to be correlated with longevity is calorie restriction.
Calorie
So,
restriction.
calorie restriction, if you think of your body like a car, right? And in terms of energy use, like when the less you eat, you know, the less energy you have to burn. And so you just get more miles on you. Now, obviously, you don't want to starve yourself to the point that you become weak and fragile and trip and fall and break all your bones. No. But you know, calorie restriction has shown to correlate with longevity, and Ozempic and these GLP-1 like drugs do help people eat less. And it also helps them with their insulin sensitivity. So, a big thing with aging also is inflammation and insulin resistance. And it seems like these drugs reduce inflammation and reduce insulin resistance. And that's also obviously what we want for
Yeah.
anti-aging.
What? Yes, anti-aging.
Now, I, having known this, you know, this is a prime example of something I did know. I don't own Novo Nordisk and I don't own Eli Lilly. I wish I did.
Yeah.
And I think that these are only going to get more popular, but I don't know how it works in terms of drugs. I imagine that eventually drugs become, you know, eventually this will become generic. They'll become
Yeah.
generic versions. And I don't know how that would then affect the stock. And I don't know. I'd
Yeah.
have to look at how that worked with some of the other, you know, big blockbuster drugs like Viagra or those ones once the generic came out, how those companies are
Right.
doing.
So, you know what? So, yeah, so just to bring everybody up to date, Lilly and Novo Nordisk are really the two, I think the two main focused pharmaceutical companies that are focused on this and that have been doing really well. Like as an example, Novo is up 30% over the past year, but up 354% over the past 5 years. Lilly is up 700% or so, 65% over, that's over 5 years or so, and that and 65% over the past year. So the question now, though, Melissa, and to your point, and one of the things I want to do on this podcast, if you're okay with it, is for certain areas, we can bring in some experts. Like I can bring in a pharmaceutical or a biotech analyst, and we can dig into this. Because to your point, you know, a lot of this, it can be called, has been priced into these stocks. At the same time, you know, we're only at the beginning stages in terms of any type of insurance, like that healthcare insurance
Coverage.
covering these. So that's huge. And then companies also have what's called patent protection and for how long. So you have to look at that as well in terms of how long do they have the patent protection for. Interestingly, just over the past week or so, Senator Sanders was out there saying that generics should be allowed and people could get this for like $100 a month. What is the cost for this, Melissa? I don't even
Yeah.
know.
So right now it's different in Canada and the US. In the US, it's way more expensive. So in Canada, the cost of an Ozempic pen, which lasts about a month, is about $250 to $300.
A
So
month.
that's the cost per month. I think Mounjaro is a little bit more expensive. If you're on the absolute highest dose of Ozempic, then it could go up to almost $500 a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
And
right.
it's covered the way it is in Canada now. So if you're diabetic, it's often covered by your insurance plan if you have insurance. But if you're not, even though Wegovy, which is semaglutide, which is the same molecule that's in semaglutide is what's in Ozempic, it's the exact same thing in Wegovy. It's just that Wegovy is actually approved for the for weight loss, whereas Ozempic's just
Oh.
approved for diabetes. It's used off-label for weight loss. So
Okay.
Wegovy's slightly more expensive at lower doses and cheaper at higher doses. And despite the fact that it's indicated for weight loss, insurance companies are not covering it
Okay.
yet here.
So yet, and it we'll see how this evolves because at the same time too, there's such a cost to society when people are overweight in terms of
Yeah.
production lost, sickness. Knee replacements. It really can change so much of what's going on. And also, we've talked about this a little bit too, consumer products. Do you eat as much McDonald's? Do you eat
No,
as many
people
potato
don't.
chips?
Like if you've ever been out for dinner with somebody that's on these drugs, no, they don't. They
I've
don't
seen
eat
that.
nearly as much. So their restaurant bill goes way down. Often people split a meal. They drink less, which has been interesting for alcohol. Some of my patients who would drink alcohol and eat just notice that they don't have the same because they can only hold so much. Some of
Yeah.
them choose the food and, you know, they don't drink the same amount of wine. And the grocery bills would go way down for sure. So it's
Interesting.
definitely people are eating less. Which makes
Yeah.
their so some people have said, you know, so you can justify the cost of the drug because it's going to reduce the cost of your food bill.
Oh.
So,
Interesting.
yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so just so people know, again, Lilly, LLY is the ticker there. It trades in the States. Novo Nordisk is a European company, but it trades on an ADR. So you can buy it in the States. You do use US dollars, and the ticker there is NVO.
And
So
this is something where it's like, because I feel this is the psychological part of investing. I feel like I missed it because
yeah.
I feel like I didn't get in right away. Am I too late? And I think that's what stops some people from buying certain stocks that are great. But it's sort of how I felt about Tesla because I missed it and I missed that big run. I feel like now, like, you know, is it as good? But I don't know. That's like any young person starting to invest, they'll always feel like they missed it because, you know, when
Right.
you look at Amazon or Apple and all these other
Yeah.
companies.
Well, and the one great thing though too is even if you think you've missed an opportunity, what I love about investing is there's just so many opportunities out there. So even if you miss one, we find something else that's, you know, at the beginning, more of the beginning stage, or if the stock gets hit and you keep it on your watch
Radar,
list,
yes.
keep it on your radar. That's a good way to do it too. So, you know, I want to go back to though from a health perspective, when you think about Tesla, as we just brought it up, and electricity,
Yeah.
there's the electricity of your heart, which is really important as well to think of. We can
Yes.
think of it from a menopause perspective for women, which that's a whole nother topic which we will get to, but talk to me a little bit
Sure.
about
Like
heart.
EVs are, you know, we think about, you know, electric vehicles, but we also have to think we have electricity within us and our cardiac system and the electrical conduction of our heart. And I think you and I got to talking about this because I was on a trip. I was in Cabo San Lucas and I was out for dinner and we were having a great night and it was going to be a super fun night. We were, you know, having some drinks and having a good time. And all of a sudden, you know, this young group of girls, I don't know if they were on a bachelorette or, you know, what walked in and one of the girls collapsed. And whenever you see, you know, a young woman collapse or, you know, you think, oh, did she not eat enough that day? Is she dehydrated? Did she faint? So, you know, eventually then they were, you know, calling like, is there a physician? And someone thought maybe she had a seizure. And it turned out that she, you know, went, felt her pulse. She had no pulse. So she had a cardiac arrest, which is basically when the electrical system of your heart fails and you go into an abnormal heart rhythm. And, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't end well. And, you know, you can do CPR and wait until the, you know, ambulance gets there. But what was really needed at that time was an AED, like an automatic external defibrillator. So when you think about when you're putting the shock on the heart, and some places have them, thank God, like gyms and health clubs often have a defibrillator, and it's really important. And subsequent to that, I've been in a situation where we had to use it. In Mexico at that time, they didn't have it. And it's extremely important. So we got to talking like, should people own their own portable defibrillators? And I've subsequently bought one from Philips, I think it was. So it's something to think about the electrical conduction of your heart. And, you know, women more so than men, when women have a cardiac arrest, people are more reluctant to do CPR because they're worried about putting hands on your chest and chest compressions. And ultimately, that's what's needed if you don't have, or obviously, the AED. So, you know, it's an important thing to make sure that you go to your doctor and, you know, you talk about whether there's sort of any family history of any heart conduction problems or if you have, you know, abnormal rhythm in the heart. And it's just something to be mindful and aware of.
What's the song that you use to know how to pound the chest?
Oh, we were
I didn't
talking
say that
about that. What
correctly.
was that one again? I can't remember. We see, this is the
Staying alive,
problem.
staying alive.
Yes,
Is that
yes,
it?
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the CPR song. So when you're doing chest compressions, people often think, oh, it's just a light thing, but it's not. You're actually pushing hard and you have to push fast. So you have to think about staying alive, staying alive, staying alive. Anyhow.
Okay. But do you actually
Yeah.
break on the staying alive part, or do you just go
Bottom
constantly?
line is you just hard and just call for an AED.
Okay,
And that's
got it.
even more important than the mouth to mouth. Yeah.
Okay. And Melissa, I'm cut. Oh, then the mouth to mouth. Yeah, I would think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's but I'm curious, why did you get an AID? Like, you have a young, like, where are you keeping this
Well, I have it for my
device?
office.
Okay.
So I keep it in my office, you know, but also it's portable, right? So on the weekend, bring it to the cottage. So there's some doctors that actually travel with them because it looks like a little suitcase and you can just bring it
Okay.
with you. So keep it in the
And
office Monday to Friday and then you can take it on the weekend
you did
or buy
say,
two. Yeah.
but yeah, I've been meaning to buy. They're not cheap. They're not
No, I
cheap.
think it was a couple thousand dollars.
Okay.
But,
Would
you
I
know,
know how to do it? Like, and I can't really
yes,
practice, can I?
it talks to you. It tells you exactly what to do. And it will only shock. If you're in a shockable rhythm, it will tell you. If you are not, you can't, it won't let it won't go off. It will, you put the paddles on and it tells you exactly where to put them on. You can't mess up. And then it will say, detect abnormal rhythm, will shock in one, to, you know, and do it. But if you're not, if you just put it on you right now, it wouldn't do anything. It can't, because you're in a normal rhythm.
Oh, well, interesting. This is the I can't process. Hurt people, anybody.
No. And if you think about this, like, that's why people are scared. It's the same thing with Tesla, right? My parents, when they come to visit me, they're scared to drive my Tesla. Like, they think it's some robotic, crazy car that's going to do. I'm like, it's just a car. Like, you can't mess that. Like, you just push the gas. And actually, with the Tesla, because of the system of, I forget what you call it, the braking, when you take your foot off the gas, the car automatically stops. So whereas a regular car, it will keep going, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in a Tesla, it's electric, right? So if you just take your foot off the gas, the car just stops moving.
Okay.
Anyhow, but it's one of those things that it frightens people because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
Which is when I get to this robo-taxi, like, I don't know. I think people are going to be, you know.
Okay, well, I don't think I've told you the story. It's pretty funny. So a lot of people know I went to a girls' school, Havergal, and, you know, we're still, the group of us were so close, and a group went on a little trip out west to visit one of our friends in Arizona. I didn't go on that trip, but I heard this story, which was one of our friends was sitting in the front seat, and she pretended, and they were in a driverless car,
okay,
fully, like, self-driving,
okay,
and she pretended to, like, perform a act
on the other, okay,
on the imaginary man that who was driving the car, the invisible man.
Oh my God.
And so when she went to, you know, pretend, the
to,
car
to what, to tie his shoelace? Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, to tie his shoelace. When she went down to tie his shoelace,
okay,
the car stopped and said, "Please don't do that."
Oh my God, that's
something
really
along
funny.
Those lines. Hysteric. By the way, she is hysterical. So
that's funny.
FYI to anybody who's covered Tesla, covered GLPs. One of the things we also, you asked me to kind of, I think, look up is Temu.
Yeah.
Temu? Mm-hmm. Tell everybody what Temu is. You turned me on to it, actually.
Yeah. So Temu is an app, a shopping app, sort of similar to Shein, if you've heard of that, or, you know, almost like Amazon too. It's out of China, where you can literally buy anything. Anything. And the reason I found out about Temu is I was watching the Super Bowl and there was ads that came on that said, shop like a billionaire, Temu.
Oh.
Shop like a billionaire, Temu. And I was like, what the heck is Temu? I want to shop like a billionaire. And which obviously was the ad work on me. So I looked it up and I said, download the app and you can buy anything from home supplies, home decor, clothes, shoes, toys, for like really cheap because but then, which is why it's become a bit controversial, because what are the labor practices like that allow you to get it so cheaply? But you know, SNL has since done a spoof. They did one on Shein and Temu that's like, they're like, would that stop you? And they're showing all these like horrible, you know, manufacturing conditions and horrible labor conditions, and yet people are like, but it's $5 and it's a really nice shirt, and they buy it. So I often look at like shopping on Temu or Shein is like gambling for women. Like, so the way I'm like, oh, I just spent $100. And like, if a few of the things are good, it's a win. And it's also fun to know, like, what did I order? What am I going to get? Sometimes it's going to be good. Sometimes it's not going to be good. It's like fun money. But honestly, as much as I say it like that, I did buy the stock because.
You bought the stock?
Yeah, I did. The stock is PDD.
Yeah.
It owns Temu. I did buy it. It actually went up a lot after I bought it and has subsequently come down, but I think it's going to go back up. I just see it as being like Amazon. And I think it's a, I wonder if it will affect Amazon. I don't use Amazon as much since I got Temu. You know, if I'm looking to buy clothes or something, or kids' clothes, they have like, I bought a tennis outfit. Like, I wanted to buy some new white tennis whites to wear, you know?
Yeah. And how much was it?
And I bought it on Temu. So if I would have gone to Lululemon, or if I would have gone to like Aloe, which I do like, and I get stuff from there, it's so expensive. It's like a couple hundred bucks. Whereas on Temu, I think I got the shirt for like $14. And it's really cute. Now, it's not going to last as long, but okay, so I'll replace it. So I don't buy a lot, like high low, right?
Yeah,
I
high
buy
low, high
some
low.
nice stuff, and then I
PED.
buy some stuff on Temu.
It's yeah, so Temu's the
Temu
yeah,
is
but it's
the
owned by
app,
this
but it's owned by.
Chinese e-commerce giant, Pinduoduo. Duo. If I know I'm not saying that right, but that's the name
I
of the
don't know,
company.
but I did hear
Yeah.
that he was like the wealthiest person in China for at least a period of time, at least when the stock. I don't know if he's been replaced already, but yeah, it's definitely
Interesting.
yeah, that's an example of one where it's like, I like this product, I like it, I use it, I see other people around me using it. So now, would I buy my whole portfolio in something like that? No, but I have sort of a portion of my portfolio that's sort of like fun money, like that stuff that I play with a little bit, and the rest of it invest more conservatively or in the index or broadly, But then I have some stuff that I like to play with that for companies and things and growth stocks that I think are interesting that I use.
Yeah, no, that I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Like, this is obviously a growth company. It's tech. It's in China, so that's got a whole nother, aspect in terms of potential risks and opportunities, right? And you have geographic exposure too if you own some Chinese stocks, which I do. So it makes sense. It's interesting though to your point about how cheap the product is. Just on September the 13th, this was on CNBC. The Biden administration is apparently taking steps to close this de minimis loophole. This is important if anybody's actually looking at buying the stock or if you own the stock, which this de minimis loophole means that you can import these Chinese goods because, and there's such a low price point, there's no like customs duties on it. And so they've been able to kind of, some would say, flood the market with these cheap goods.
Oh,
So
okay.
just FYI, but it's interesting. I'm glad that you bought it because that is a great example of owning something that.
That I use. So that was one that I did buy. Another example was Netflix. So I think we talked about this one. So at around the same time that I was going to buy Tesla, the other one I was going to buy was Netflix because I had a young daughter at the time. And it was like when I put Netflix on, it was like I remember growing up and it was like you could only watch cartoons on Saturday morning. Now all of a sudden it's like, oh, thank God. I don't know what to do with my daughter. It's Thursday at 6 a.m. Cartoons, Netflix. Like, I was using it all the time. I'm like, this is amazing, right? That you can watch any show at any time. And I remember also having the conversation about, well, are you really going to buy it? There's going to be all these competitors. Look, like Amazon's coming out with Amazon Prime, Disney's coming out with Disney Plus, and there's going to be all which, and there are to this day, but I still think that I thought Netflix was great. I bought the stock and it's done extremely well. And it is still the dominant player, despite the fact that people now have multiple of these streaming apps. Like, it's not like choose either or. Are you going to have Netflix or Amazon Prime? People have them all. They're just like different channels,
And so, Melissa, was Netflix one though that you put in the order at the same time as Tesla and Netflix got
Yes,
filled,
and
but
it
Tesla
failed, and Tesla
didn't?
didn't. And that's why
Unbelievable.
I own Netflix today and not Tesla.
That's
And I still use them. And that's an example of I still use them just as frequently. Like, I still have a te I still like the
interesting.
Tesla. I still use the Tesla, and I still use Netflix every single day.
Amazing. I don't own Netflix.
But do you watch Netflix?
I do, but I don't have children. I don't need to
No, but for yourself.
I switch around. Like if something's
Okay.
great on Prime, I watch Prime.
Prime. Exact. Or, and if it's good on Prime, you watch that. If it's good on Netflix.
But maybe I should look at it. We'll see. One thing I want to get your take on from a health and beauty perspective is what's this NAD? And is
So
it NAD or is it NAD?
both. So the
Oh,
NAD
is
is an
it?
acronym. And I don't even know if I'm going to get it right because it's really confusing what it stands for. It stands for nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide or something. I don't know, something like that, which is why people call it NAD or NAD or NAD plus. And it's basically an IV drip infusion that you can get that replenishes levels of this NAD, which is essentially a coenzyme inside our cells that decreases as we age. So similar to, think about collagen in your skin. Collagen is something that keeps us looking youthful. And as we get, you know, 25 plus, we lose collagen. And so in the beauty industry, we think of all these ways that we can replenish collagen. You can take an oral collagen supplement. You can inject your face with Sculptra or Radiesse, which are examples of collagen biostimulators. You can do microneedling or use these devices that aim to boost collagen. Basically, you're trying to look younger. So NAD, think of it as the internal cellular version of that. So NAD is involved with energy metabolism. It's involved with DNA repair. It's involved with inflammation. It's involved with these things inside our cells that give us energy, and we lose it as we age. So it's become popular now to take these IV infusions of NAD as an anti-aging longevity treatment. So, you know, the studies are, you know, coming with it. Some people swear by it. Some people say they feel great. I think some of the celebrity people that do it are like Joe Rogan. I think Tony Robbins. You know, these are people that swear by it. They get NAD infusions. I mean, there's lots of other celebrities that do it. You know, some people, we offer it at our clinic in Toronto. In terms of side effects, some people can feel a little dizzy or a little nauseous or get a little flushed, especially if you run it too fast. It takes, you have to, it takes a while to get, you don't want to just do it really quickly. You have to be there for an hour, a couple hours.
A couple of hours?
Yeah. But
how often do you do this?
So there's different protocols, right? Because this isn't an exact science, but a lot of people do it once a month.
I can afford once a month.
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of affording, again, like the...
I meant time-wise, but yeah. What's the price?
Well, you think of it like a nice massage for yourselves.
You know? And but how does the body, like, are you convinced that the body actually absorbs it? Because some people say even with the vitamin drips that the body doesn't absorb it. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it definitely does absorb it. Because, I mean, if you look at vitamin levels, when we test the levels of just example, like B12, you know, after someone's had a vitamin infusion, we see the levels are high. So it definitely does absorb. Now, whether we can retain, whether it can actually, whether we pee it out before it does something, that, you know, is debatable. And like I said, like there needs to be more studies. I think there have been some scientific reports on it helping with neurodegenerative conditions. So there's trials being done and studies being done on that. But I think, like, again, like a lot of these anti-aging and longevity treatments, you know, people want to live longer and they want to feel good. And I mean, we lose energy as we age. People just have less energy. And if this is something
I'm
that
sitting
can
help, there like,
yeah, I get it. Right.
I
so
know
there's even some research like it helps with like addiction treatments. I don't know. But I do think it's one of those ones when I think, is it worth trying? I would say yes. And, you know, we talked about on this podcast, like, you know, a lot of these things are things we're discussing, but also these are things we're actually trying in real life. So things we're actually investing in and treatments we're actually getting. So, you know, in the next few weeks, Catherine and I will probably get an NAD infusion.
I
we
will
can
do
tell
it.
You firsthand. How do we feel? You know?
I will do it. So, but Melissa, do you, I know you have your medical clinic and then you have kind of the beauty clinic, which is in a different building just down the road. Where do you, where does this fit in? It's beauty and health. Like where?
So it's wellness. It's in the wellness.
But sorry, I mean, in which office do I go to?
Oh, for this would be in wellness house. This is where we do the IV vitamin drips. And the IV infusions.
All right.
So that's where we have, you know, we do IV vitamin drips. We do ice plunge, cold plunge, infrared sauna. These are things that aren't really medical, but they're things that, you know, make people feel better and potentially can help with longevity.
I mean, I've been doing infrared sauna for years and I love it. And I'm talk about energy. You sweat out all the toxins. It's not that hot, like breathing hot air. It just makes you sweat from the inside out. And Melissa, I have so much energy after I do one of those saunas. It's bizarre. And my skin
See,
looks
these,
better.
right. So these are things that aren't, pharmacotherapies, they're not, but they're also things that just are in this sort of wellness space. And, this is a huge growth industry, like massive, both women's health, men's health, longevity, anti-aging. People want to invest in their health and they want to invest in their wellness. In other words, they just don't want to make sure they don't have a disease or make sure that, when they, but they want to make sure that they prevent themselves from getting sick and feel as best as they can, as opposed to just not, be ill.
Melissa, and we might need to get an expert on this for another show. There's so many different tangents and paths we can go down, but it was so interesting to me. My husband and I were just in Europe for about 3 weeks. It was fabulous, spectacular. The food was so great. I'm not a foodie, but I do love it. But it felt so good and natural. I was never bloated. I ate pasta at least once a day. I lost a pound. And what I learned was that there's about 1,000 substances, additives, preservatives, pesticides, what have you, that are banned in Europe, but we have them in
Have them here.
North America, and that it changes your body composition, your metabolism, where you store your fat, what is it, your endocrine system. It change all these chemicals. Are killing us, and we know that. But the fact that there's that many banned substances, we've got to stop it here in North America. We can do as much as we can health-wise, but and I want to bring somebody on, this podcast, like an expert in this area in terms of the things that we have to avoid here. We have to do our best to avoid here. Don't you think we should do that?
For sure. And I think that this is, again, going back to these GLP-1s. So it's like, if we have all these extra substances and additives in our food here that we can't control, well, at least if we're eating less of it, that's a win.
That's a
I think
win.
that's what's helping the North American population with these drugs. That being said, I just, in London, so many people are on Ozempic. It's so popular. There are
Yeah,
so many
you were
people
just
on
in
weight.
London. I forgot.
And I was told that in London, I've had some patients tell me that it's so hard to eat healthy. So maybe in Italy and maybe wherever you are, maybe, maybe that's the case if you're spending money getting, really nice, freshly made, fish and pasta. But again, I think that Europe struggles with a lot of these issues as well.
That's fair. That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, we were in the south, so you're getting fish literally right there.
Which is amazing, which is why if you were in a farm up here up north, you'd probably be getting great farm raised, sort, grass
Yeah, I know.
fed,
Yep.
fresh.
I'm tempted to start farming. Not
Yeah, for
joking.
sure.
I don't know if I'd be very good, but I am tempted.
I'd
Something.
come to your farm.
Thank you. I'm gonna figure
You're
it
welcome.
out. I will figure it out.
Okay.
That's what this getting savvy thing is. It's figuring it all out.
Okay.
I want to talk to Melissa. It was interesting because when you talked about Temu, you actually wanted me to look up some of the banks, which I didn't really have time to do for this, but just to put it in perspective, I think when you build a portfolio, you have growth, you have value. I personally have been building up my own dividend portfolio for the past number of years because why, if I'm owning a stock, why not have them pay me as a shareholder? And in particular, I'll just share with you one of the stocks that I bought, and I didn't buy it for it to do like a lot. Like I'm not looking for a huge capital gains. It's a REIT, so a real estate investment trust. And I own a couple of them, but one of them that I own, did I even, I think I brought it, is Smart Center. So that's Mitch Goldhar who brought Walmart to Canada, and I forget how many, I wrote it down, how many centers they have, but that's one of the stocks that I personally bought because I wanted a dividend. And again, this is not investment advice at all. This is just something that when we talk about rounding out a portfolio, so many different ways and things to do. But that, I get paid, a nice dividend. Like you think I've got, I don't know, 7% or so, 7% yield. Why not? Why not have that in your portfolio?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've made sure to have some,
Do you?
yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I actually, so, okay, so I took a plane ride home. I can't remember where I was coming home from, and I sat beside somebody who was in the investment industry, and he had just written a book, and he talked the whole time about dividend stocks. And I got home and I said to Adam, I think I need to buy some dividends. And he's like, you sat on a plane ride and talked about, but yeah, I did. And I did buy them, you know?
Yeah.
But
did you buy banks or did you buy telecom? So for everybody to understand, dividend stocks, basically you get paid a dividend, or the companies that pay dividends tend to be the ones that are not in growth mode. And the reason is because if they're in growth mode, like a Temu, you want to take that money that they're earning from their profits and continue to reinvest in marketing and development and expansion, et cetera. So they tend not to. But the bigger companies like the telecoms and the banks, they tend to pay their shareholders a dollar amount per share. And that translates into a yield. So you can compare a dividend yield to what you would get in your cash account at a bank. So and when stock, it's an inverse relationship. When stocks go down, the dividend yield goes up. And sometimes you have to be careful. Is the dividend yield attractive? Because it's attractive and the stock was down, but it will recuperate, or is it a bit of a trap? So just that's a bit of, do you understand what I mean, Melissa, at all? Do we want to go down that path or no?
I don't know. I started, I drifted off. I think I was thinking about a Netflix show. I just, no, I was thinking about, sorry, I understand. I actually don't elaborate, okay. Rather than just saying, I understand what you're saying, elaborate on what you were saying about the trap. I didn't understand that.
Okay. Part. So, there are certain industries, like I said, that often pay dividends, and you know what they are. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the ones that aren't so growthy. Okay.
Yeah.
So a bank stock, telecom, utilities,
yeah.
Right? Utilities, you pay your bill every month. If you own a utility stock, they're giving you a nice little dividend. Okay. Some companies though, if they pay a dividend and when the stock goes down, this is just a calculation of a dividend yield. The dividend yield goes higher. So you just have to be careful. So as an example,
why would it pay more if the stock goes down?
It's the yield. It's not that it's paying more. It's the yield.
Oh, okay.
Just the yield. It's just a mathematical equation. So as an example, when the energy sector has been vilified for a number of years, especially with EVs and you know, so many of these projects in Canada got canceled through Trudeau, and you know, our energy and our ability to use our resources, in my opinion, this is my shtick here, you know, if we could use our resources more, we'd have better hospitals, more education. You know, we're capping off our revenue here in Canada, have been for 8.5 years, and you're seeing the effect it's had on unaffordable housing, higher food costs, etc. So it's not a one-dimensional problem. There's like five, we're talking 5D here. But anyway, I'd sit on the anchor desk and you'd see all these huge energy companies. The news line would be day after day, they're pulling out of Canada, the foreign direct investment. And we need foreign investment here because we just don't have as much money. We need those partnerships to develop our natural resources. And many of them left over all these years. So these energy stocks got hit so low, you know, the stock price goes down. And I'm like, well, you know, we're going to be using oil and nat gas for many, many years. This whole, and now you're hearing only the past year or so, these big CEOs saying, oh yeah, the energy transition, it's not going to be 2030. It's much, much longer out. So what happened, Melissa, is these energy stocks got so cheap that going back to, like, I don't know, 2019 or something, I bought Exxon. So a huge energy company in the States, and the stock was down. The dividend yield was like 8.9%. So I get a yield, and just compare that to what you earn in your money market account or your bank account of, like, I don't know, do you make 2% or 1%, 1%. But I'm making 9%, let alone the capital gains. So all to say, I'm glad you own dividend stocks. I do think it's really important to have that as part of your portfolio, because I don't want to say it's free money, but you're a shareholder, have them pay you. And you don't have to work for that. So when I'm older, like, I'm developing this dividend portfolio.
So do you have, so talking about this whole thing. So I remember at one point I was asked, well, do you have a drip? And I was like, what are you talking about? And like a dividend reinvestment
plan.
Plan.
That's
so that
funny.
when they, Yeah. So that when automatically, when you get the dividend payment, that it automatically gets reinvested so that you're just not accumulating the cash.
Right,
Is that something that
so
you recommend?
I think it depends. I think a lot of people would say it's a great idea. The dividend payment gets reinvested into the stock. You end up with more stock. So it, you know, what's good about it is it's almost as though you don't have to think about it,
Well, you know, exactly. It just takes
right?
the,
You're just
yeah.
constantly investing and reinvesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been taking the cash actually.
Yeah, I
Haven't
didn't
have.
do it either.
Okay.
Because I don't, when it's too automatic, that means you can become a little bit negligent, I find sometimes.
Yeah. And I
You
also
know?
think too, like I like to see, and I'm adding it up, how much my dividends are making me from an
Right.
income perspective. Because at the end of the
Right. Because you're
day,
looking at it. Yeah.
you want to be able to say, okay, now I've got that cash from that, and I'll go and buy another stock. Right?
So do you think that growth stocks eventually become dividend stocks?
Not always. Sometimes growth companies fail. Sometimes they become what's the word? Da, 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 da,
You can't just keep
irrelevant.
growing and growing and
Irrelevant.
growing. I think most, yeah.
They become irrelevant and they never even paid a dividend.
Yeah.
You know, and growth companies also tend to have a higher multiple. We haven't even talked about valuations, but growth
Because when
company
we
because you're
talked about this, we know I tend to, because when we talk about the buy what you know, I mean, I'm not an investor, I'm a consumer that gets paid because I'm a doctor. So I have, you know, I accumulate wealth, I consume products, and then I have to figure out on my own how I'm gonna, you know, invest it. So because I'm a consumer, I tend to invest in things that excite me are growth stocks because I'm using them, I'm seeing them, you know, Netflix,
Right.
you know, Tesla. I'm like, I'm seeing these, myself using these things on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, so you know what's interesting, and one of the things I think you wanted to talk about, and I think it's really important to talk about as well, is even if you, so we're talking about such stock specifics, and some people might say, I don't know the first thing about a stock. I think people probably do more than they think. Like to your point, you've bought Netflix.
Yeah.
Fantastic, right? So it is very doable. One other way to start getting invested is to buy the market.
Yeah, that's what
You
we
can
t
use
that's what I
so
did. That's the majority of my portfolio is
using
just
ETFs, you probably use ETFs.
So I pay a low fee and I get a basket of the
Yeah.
market, basically.
Right. So let's just describe this a bit further. ETFs stand for exchange traded funds. It was really interesting. I was sitting, I think it was at Goldman at the time on the trading desk when they really kind of became, you know, more of a thing. And well, actually, how they were used back then, and this was kind of the early 2000s, was, and this was the bull market that then burst, of course, but the big money managers. So I covered institutions, the so hedge funds and big money managers that own and operate mutual funds. So they could be managing $100 billion, $500 billion, $10 billion, what have you. And they'd get inflows. So people like you and me, retail investors, the money would come in, and it was coming in droves because it was a bull market, right? And so rather than having that money sit for a day or two, not participating in the upside of the market before they just sit to figure out what stock do I really want to buy, they use the ETFs to do this. They just would put the money in a market ETF, so the S&P 500 or what have you. And that was kind of how they were really used. And, you know, fast forward 20 years, these companies have developed them to the point where you can have an ETF that represents anything in the market. So meaning, and to your point, Melissa, you talked about it's a basket of stocks. So what is an ETF? It's a basket of stocks that represents either the whole market or a sector or an industry or a specialization of some sort. So they've really like expanded. So as an example, Melissa, you know, if you don't know what healthcare company you want to own, but you want to own healthcare, you can buy the XL, wait, da, 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 before I say that, I want to say XLV. I got to check that out. Da, 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 da. Healthcare. Well, Vanguard has one, VHT. So Vanguard is very low fee, probably one of the lowest fees out there. Like it's nothing. And you can just look to buy the VHT if you want exposure to healthcare.
That's how I got exposure to Bitcoin. Because I was, this was during,
look at
COVID.
you. Look at
I
you.
know.
You
Yeah,
are very good.
Yeah, so this is during COVID and everybody's talking about Bitcoin and everybody had too much time in their hands to think about all these things. And I didn't understand Bitcoin, but I just still don't. Like, I don't know. I don't really think anybody 100% understands it. But I did believe that it was something and that cryptocurrency wasn't going anywhere and that people are going to own Bitcoin and trade it and it's going to, you know. But I didn't know, like, I wasn't going to get a wallet or I wasn't going to buy an actual, I just didn't know how to do it. So I bought the first Bitcoin ETF and actually it's gone up.
Yeah, I bet.
Done well for me. Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Do you know which, do you want to see which one you
I think
bought?
It was BTCC.
Okay, cool. So yeah, so it's important for people to know, like, even from this, you know, if you just want to get exposure into the market, and we've talked a lot about US, I only talked really about the Smart Center REIT. But like BMO as an example,
mm-hmm.
and it's also, if you have Canadian dollars, some of the Canadian, ETF providers, you can use your Canadian dollars and then they do the conversion and they buy what would represent the US market. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as an example, if anybody here wanted to buy the US S&P 500, the S&P 500 represents 500 large companies in the United States. The ticker there is ZSP.T. So that's an example. And that, with that though, it's, some people buy it where it would be hedge-backed Canadian dollar. So if you buy the ZSP, you're buying US market, and whatever happens to the US dollar versus the Canadian dollar, it's not hedged back to the Canadian dollar.
Right.
But then you can buy it hedged back to the Canadian dollar too. So a lot of ETFs out there. The S&P 500, like if you have US dollars, you can buy the, and you just want exposure to the S&P 500 right now because the market's been pretty good. You can use VOO. Like, everybody can mm-hmm. just look this up. But
yep.
the point being, you can get exposure to tech. You can get exposure to energy. You can, like, XLE is the energy mm-hmm. ETF. One thing that I was thinking of, and it's had a bit of a run, is the XHB. XHB is the housing, represents all the, so in the States, they've got lots of home builders that are publicly traded.
Yep.
And some build homes for high end, some low end. And my whole life I've covered them, but I can't keep track of who does what. So the XHB is a great proxy for what's going on in housing. And for everybody to be up to date, the US Federal Reserve lowered rates by 50 basis points the other week. So that really propelled some of the housing stocks because obviously, you know, lower rates, people yeah. can buy more, the developers can afford more, et cetera, et cetera. So those are just a couple of ideas. Melissa, we're going to wrap it up soon and we're going to have some actionable actions here. Mm-hmm. We didn't do Ninja. Should we save it for next time?
Yeah, I think a few things that I want to talk about next time.
Yeah.
We can talk about the company Ninja again as an example because I'm obsessed with my Ninja air fryer and I use it all the time and my Ninja Creamy, although I'm using my Ninja Creamy less with the air fryer. So we're just looking at that company as
okay.
some of their products and whether, because it's something we use, something we know, is it something we'd want to invest in? And also I wanted to talk about AI.
And oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I think AI is massive. I don't think it's
mm-hmm.
going anywhere. I think it's, you know, I think it's a huge growth area and
mm-hmm.
I want to be invested in it.
Okay.
And I want to think about how and
okay.
whether it's an AI ETF, whether it's waiting for OpenAI to go public, whether it's through Tesla, like you said, just thinking more about AI.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And also, so from a health perspective too, next time I want to get your take on what we know so far or what you're maybe even doing in your clinic for menopause patients.
Oh yeah. Huge.
Okay.
I feel like,
and what? Go ahead.
Yes. I feel like everybody's talking about perimenopause and menopause and it's very buzzy right now.
It's buzzy.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to learn a little bit more about that. And for people to know, I'm on the board of the Mount Sinai Hospital or Health Foundation because I have such a keen interest in this area to help women. and they're building the first ever, you know, world-class center built around Dr. Wendy Wolfman, famous in menopause, to actually have a dedicated commitment to women's health, which she's the only chair in the world for menopause. There's no other chair in the world. That tells you it's not an area of focus.
Well, it's becoming a huge area.
Now it is.
Of focus.
Yes.
Yeah. Huge.
Yes.
But interesting to talk about also, like, is it investable as well? Like, I think,
oh,
you know, well, you know, when you look at women in the different periods in their life, like fertility is big business, big business. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'm curious about looking at. Because, you know, a lot of like, it's being, is an employee benefit now to retain employees, to get women working, you know, they're giving them coverage mm-hmm. for fertility. Anyhow, so looking at women in that period of life, fertility, and then looking at the period of life when it comes to perimenopause, and menopause is something that all women are thinking about and going through and experiencing, but mm-hmm. looking at mm-hmm. also if that's, you know, some sort of investable area as well.
Yeah, that's smart. Never thought mm-hmm. of that. Very smart. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so and then maybe we'll come up with a couple more dividend stocks for next time. And we'll see what's interesting. I'll see what's interesting in the market over the next week or so. Because what we're also doing here, everybody, is we're going to be, Melissa and I are building out our portfolio, mm-hmm. right? We're going to, so we're going to have
fun. This is our fun.
Yeah,
night.
Having fun. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll have actionable items. So, and Melissa, I know I'm not ready for a facelift. I don't think. Am I?
I mean, are we ever ready?
No, I mean, do I need one?
Could we
do I need one?
Be ready? No one needs a facelift, right? But no one needs it. But, you know, it's one of those things. You look beautiful. You're gorgeous. And no, you, your face looking at you now, it's tight.
I'm holding
and
it.
Great. And, you know,
I'm
but
holding my face.
But when we look at ourselves close in the mirror in the morning, before we put our makeup on, oh, we're always doing this and this. And wouldn't it be nice if you could just like staple it? You know?
Staple. Uh-huh.
And I've heard plastic surgeons say that you get two good facelifts in your life.
That's it?
Like, that's it. So like, when are they going to be? If they're ever going to be. And then I look at my mother, who's beautiful, who's never had a facelift and never will have a facelift. And maybe that's the right call too. So we can talk more about.
Yeah, I want to know about this deep plane thing that people are doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to know about even just fixing your little eyelids.
Blefs? Yeah, blepharoplasties. You know,
and what's sure. an eyebrow lift? I don't understand this eyebrow lift.
So brow lift, thing. You're lifting up the brow. A bleph, you're just lifting up the eyelid.
But how do you lift
a
up a
combo
brow?
Is you
how do you lift
it.
up a brow?
You make an incision here.
Uh-huh.
And then you pull it up. Doesn't look good. I'm going to get one.
Not
I'm
going to
get one. All right. Okay. Let's wrap. Cause I
okay.
Got
okay. Let's wrap it. So, okay. Actual items. I'm going to buy Tesla.
Good for you. Okay. I like it. I'm going to get an NAD drip.
Oh, and I'm going to get an NAD drip.
Yeah. And I'm going to look at my portfolio because I like to rebalance it
okay.
every few months. And I haven't made a decision about what I'm going to buy yet, but probably just more of the index because nothing is really standing out to me.
Yeah.
Right
So
now.
are you gonna buy like the S&P 500 index, or are you gonna buy the TSX?
I think I have the, I forget what the ticker is, like VFV. Does that sound right?
What is it?
I think
VOO is S&P 500.
No, I think it's V. What's V? I'll tell you.
Yeah. We will. Yeah. So there's the, you can buy a TSX ETF. You can buy just, and that just represents the bigger, broader market. But the point
the
is
Vanguard
too,
S&P 500 is the VFV.
VFV.
Yeah. Vanguard S&P 500.
Okay. Okay. So you think you're going to buy some of that?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to do that
I don't
too.
Know. And the other one too is, okay. So this, we can talk about this next time too, is bank stocks, Canadian banks. I'm reading a book about how they're oligopolies.
Yeah.
And I think I need to own more bank stock.
Huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. I actually don't own any.
What?
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Really?
No. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I do own the XLF, which is the financial ETF in the States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I do own that. I just don't own Canadian banks. But we'll look at it. Okay. So next
okay,
time,
good. All right.
Deep plane. And I'm going to do the NAD. I'm buying Tesla, and I'm buying the S&P 500 Vanguard. And this is just for entertainment purposes. Once again, do not take any of this as advice.
No.
Fair?
No, but if you want to invest along with us, that's fun too.
Exactly. And then you can send us your questions. What things do you want us to look at from a health, wealth, and beauty perspective? And we'll bring experts on too. All right, Melissa, that wraps it there. Getting savvy.
Yeah.
Bye. All right, hold on. Yes. I'm stopping the recording.